All right, so back to my point. So Travis, he laid down a challenge for me. He said I had the seniority between the two of us, and I got to choose whenever I wanted to preach, last week or this week. And I wanted to go this week because he said that I was going to one-up him. Well, hey, he did such an awesome job. I don't know how I could compete with that. I thought he did fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. So my solution to the problem was, I'm going to bribe you. Yeah. All right? So, I have already assigned David and his usher staff a task this morning. So what I have here is, us older folks, raise your hand if you're old. Yeah. Whenever we were in school, we had the gold star standard, right? You had your name out there, and if you did something good, the teacher put a little gold star, and you were like, yeah. And so you get a gold star. And so I assigned David and his usher staff the task that whenever you people amen, you get a gold star.
Amen.
Okay, you got it? And if you're really doing a good job, then Pastor Brian's going to, remember this, Jessica? Pastor Brian's going to chunk a piece of candy out to you. All right? So I am assuring myself victory in this challenge. Oh, give Russ. All right, so, but there's also a little caveat to this. You can gain all kinds of gold stars. You can put them on your hands, heads. I don't care where you put them. As you gain them, you accomplish. Woo! But if you heckle me, we will take them away. So I need you to give Russ like two packages. I need you to give Steve like a whole complete package because I'm the kind of guy everybody gets, something. But we need to give them a head start because I know that it's going to be we're going to be taking them away from them. But they're going to come down to the end of the day with one. Okay, he gets. See, it's already on. It's already on. All right, that's what I'm just saying. All right, so for real, if you get an amen going or something like, they're going to give you a star. I'm not kidding. They really are. And I'm really going to chunk candy. I really am. Oh, yeah, gold star. Give me a gold star. Oh, sorry, Timmy. I'm not kidding. I'm going to chunk them. I used to do that, and they weren't looking. I hit them. I did. I'm not kidding. If there's anybody still in here, you guys remember that? That whole group over there. You guys are awesome. You guys are growing up. Whew. And I'm getting old. Mike Holman's getting old, too. He turned 50. Congratulations, Mike. All right. So, oh, yeah. All right. So, praise God. Like David said, I was the children's pastor here for a long time. It was amazing. It was hard. It was a challenge. But nonetheless, it was fun. I had a good time. Teaching the boys and girls. I currently, I'm changing gears here. So I currently look at myself kind of, if you're going to categorize somebody, I'm not a preacher. I am not a preacher. Okay? I don't even attain to be a preacher. I am a lay person, just like you all are sitting there right now. I am you. I love God. I want to serve Him the best of my ability. And sometimes I get the opportunities to do this kind of stuff. On Wednesday, we have a connection group that I get to minister. I am an encourager. I think I am an encourager. I'm a teacher. I can teach in a setting of, a few people together. What I'm going to do today is I'm hoping that I'm going to teach. I'm going to encourage this morning. But by no means do not get the impression that I'm going to preach like Pastor does. I'm just saying that right now. It ain't going to happen. Okay? So. Whoa! You just want a piece of candy. There we go. All right, so I'm going to try and use technology. All right. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. We're going to start Proverbs, chapter 2, verse 1. Okay. Because, you know, I don't want you to get to the restaurants too early today.
Amen.
it could be possible, okay, I'm going to give you just, it could be one way or it could be the other, all right? It could be that we can go have breakfast here in a little bit. That's how quick I'll get done. Get through my notes and, hey, we'll go eat breakfast. Or, who said amen?
Take that store away.
Yeah, yeah. Or we might be here a while. I've got some things to say. You know, Pastor, before he left, I guess it's been about 3 weeks ago, I was sitting, you know, where we sat up here, and oh man, I am just enjoying worship, and the Holy Spirit's just downloading some things to me that I've been learning and in the connection group setting over the fall in our group, just some of those things that we've learned. Also, some of the things in my devotion time that the Holy Spirit's been downloading. And so he was downloading some stuff to me one Sunday morning. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Man, that is so encouraging. And I thought, man, if I had the opportunity, I would share that. And so that was Sunday morning. So Monday, a pastor called me. And it was pretty early. And so I was still in my office. And so he called me, have you got a minute? Yeah, I got a minute. And so he says, you know, Brian, I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying that you are to share with the people while I'm away. He said, you have a word to share. And so I said, this is what's coming out of my mouth, okay? So I don't do this. I am not a preacher, like I said. The words that came out of my mouth were, yes, I do. And I will do it. He said, well, all right, thank you. I hung up the phone with him, went back to my office, sat down in my chair. What did I just do? But you know what? The Holy Spirit, God, when he is dealing with us, when he is teaching us stuff, will give me things that we need. Boy, I feel his presence. The things that we need for this life that we live. He will give us things to help us get through struggles in life, helping others. He will give us what we need. And so this morning, I hope that I can communicate clearly what it is that I think the Holy Spirit, you know, has been saying to me and been kind of downloading to me the last few weeks. Actually, the last few months, okay? So I have a timeline that I have before this thing kicks off. I have not figured it out yet, how to take that little screensaver thing off yet. So Proverbs chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading some scripture this morning, okay? You guys going to be able to keep up? There's no doubt. Look who's behind the helm back here. All right. My child, listen, I'm going to be reading out the New Living Translation, which is cool.
That's right.
It is a cool version to read. So my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. So just real quick, this is Solomon who's writing this, right? This is Solomon writing. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. You know, he gives us wisdom. He does. He, like I said, he gives us wisdom to get us through whatever we're going through. He gives us wisdom to aid, to help. Not even whenever we are, like Steve was saying this morning, it's not only the struggles he helps us through, but it's the times when we become warriors. We need to be praying. We need to be like, you know, in the battle, in the thick of it. He gives us wisdom and understanding to do battle. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. So this morning, my sermon title is going to be alignment. Connecting the dots. We've been... A pastor's been in a series of saying who we are as a church, of relaying who we are as a body, as a congregation. We are a lighthouse, right? What's a lighthouse do? Let's, all right. What's a lighthouse do?
Shine.
Huh?
Shine.
Okay, we shine. What else? Warns of danger. Dangerous waters.
Harbors.
A safe place.
Harbors.
Harbors, a safe place. Okay, so... all right, there we go. All right, there we go. So, what else are we? So, pastor says we are a lighthouse. What else did he say we are?
We're a training center.
We're making disciples.
Yeah.
But also, we are being discipled.
Yeah.
What is a disciple? A disciple is a person who follows. A disciple is a person who is learning from a teacher. The 12 disciples, that's not really their name. That's what they were. But the 12 disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know, all those guys, they were following, they were learning Jesus. They were learning his way. They were following his way. And they were growing, right? And it wasn't until after the Holy Spirit came that it all became evident and apparent, and they became mighty men and women. No, maybe there were some women. They became mighty men for God. You know, Peter went from the screw-up disciple to man of power. You know? So, God gives us wisdom. I have over here on this easel, thank you, Mr. Lloyd. So, Mr. Lloyd over there, he is part of my connection group as well. He had my back this morning. Anybody see that? Mr. Lloyd had my back this morning. He helped me be able to set up this easel because I was not having any luck with it. I was like, what in the world is this thing? And so I have my masterpiece up here. And it took me a while to draw this. So don't be surprised. Oohs and ahs. I might have it up for sale after we get done. Okay. So here's my masterpiece. Everybody applauding gets gold stars. We get an amen back there. Gets gold stars. So, oh, sorry, guys. Yeah. So this is my masterpiece. This is my message this morning. We are going to connect some dots. Everybody seen this? How many of you are old enough to remember the Connect the Dot books that we used to get? Yeah, do they still do that? Really? So generations get to do the Connect the Dot things. Great. So this morning we're going to connect the dots. So we're going to start up here, and we're going to connect the dots. So pastor has been, we just connected one dot. Pastor's been teaching us about who we are as a body. About, we're a lighthouse, we make disciples, we're healing, a place of healing, place of, where, huh? Yeah, safe place, we said that. We've also had others who've been sharing some things that need to be connected here, some dots need to be connected. So last week, Travis was up here, and he shared that we get served. We get to serve others, right? And David has been sharing. Actually, I'm going to get into that in a minute. But he's been sharing in the offering the importance of giving tithe and importance of offerings. So we're going to connect those dots as well. We're going to go to, I'm going to share a little overview of the history of Israel. So we're going to start in Genesis and go through Malachi in about, 2 hours. Got time? Like I said, we'll have time for breakfast tomorrow. That's what I meant. Now, just real quick, if you go back to the Old Testament, so I like the Old Testament. I really like it. I really do. It's some people think, what's the use of the Old Testament? There's a lot of numbers, a lot of names. There is a lot of that stuff, and I'm kind of a nerd in regards to that a bit.
Amen.
Because yeah, you took that back, right? You didn't give him one, you took one, right? Take one from him for giving him one. No. So I'm kind of a nerd about that, where I love history. I love history. Whenever I was going to school, high school and college and stuff, I really enjoyed history. I know I'm kind of a freak that way. But I really did. I enjoyed it. Anybody else like history? Woo. Oh, welcome to the club. All right. So the history of Israel is such where we can learn right now, today, about what happened to the children of Israel. About, the Old Testament went into some great detail about what they went through. But that is there for us to learn from, okay? Today, now, right now, that we can go into the Old Testament and we can read and gain insight. Remember Proverbs that we just read? We can gain insight and knowledge into the mind and the heart of God in the Old Testament today. We can see through the children of Israel the struggles that they went through, the triumphs and the victories they had. They were aligned with God. So this morning, what I want to talk about is being aligned, connecting the dots with being aligned. So I'm asking for your patience, okay? So I can get there. Hopefully, I'll communicate close enough. But we're going to connect some dots. So the children of Israel. They had struggles. And I want to talk about being aligned with the plan and the purposes of God. Whenever the children of Israel were in alignment with God, they had great success. Whenever they weren't in alignment with God, they were out of His will. They weren't following His plans, His principles. God laid out a plan and purpose through Moses for the children of Israel, not to give them rules that they have to follow to have success, but it was so that they could have success and be blessed as a country, as a land. So, becoming just a little bit more clear, isn't it? Everybody knows what that is, right? Okay. So, I'm a big, a little bit more insight into my life. I'm a big outdoorsy, sportsy kind of guy. I love to hunt. I love to fish. I do raise chickens. I got some little bunny rabbits now. I love Bass Pro Shop. Yeah, I do. So some of those, I'm an outdoorsy kind of guy. And one of the things that I really enjoy, a little insight into me, one of the things that I really enjoy is to be able in the fall to go out and to hang on the side of a tree. I do. I love to go deer hunting. I love to go squirrel hunting. I love to be out in the quiet. That's one of the things. It's a place where I can get recharged, really. May not ever see an animal, but I come back away from that totally recharged. There's just something about the solitude, the quietness, the time that I get to think, the time that I get to process in the quiet. Because if you're loud in the woods, what happens? You don't see nothing. Everything's, sees you. And so last year, now remember, I'm talking about alignment. Last year, I was out in the woods, got up in the Oh, dark 30. It was still dark outside. Drove to my hunting spot and got out and walked to my stand. Climbed up in my stand, and it's still dark. It's like, you know, 4 or 5:30 in the morning. And so I get in there, and I mean, it's just, oh, yes. I sit down and doze a little bit, wake myself up. And so I'm sitting there, and it gets a little bit brighter, a little bit more light. And I hear this, you know, in the leaves. And so I look off to my side. Now, if you're not a deer hunter, you're not going to understand what I'm about to say. Okay? So I look off to my side, and I see this little buck come walking up beside me. He's probably from me to Chris and Trish. And so I'm looking, but I'm this way, and he's over there. And so I'm like this, and it's hard to do all the turning stuff and not be seen and not be moved. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting for him to get out a little bit further. And he's walking real slow, and I'm getting nervous. I've got buck fever because I see. So I'm, you know, shaking like this. But it takes so long for him to get there. I'm like, okay, come on already. And so whenever he comes out there a little bit further, and he's like back to the wall back there away from me now. And so I've got, I really enjoy archery. That's really my thing. I love to bow hunt. But I was shooting with my 30-30. A rifle. Oh. And so this deer walks out, and now I'm lining him up. I got him in my crosshairs, and I'm sitting back there in my tree, and got it lined up. And if you're squeamish, bear with me. There is a good side of the story for some of you. Got him in my crosshairs, and boom! That deer doesn't even move. He runs away. He didn't even phase him. What happened? I missed the thing. That's why I was saying, you know, some of you are like rooting for the deer, I know. I missed the deer. I'm sitting there, and I'm so upset. And I'm like, oh, man. I've never shot a buck, by the way, with my rifle at this point. And so I'm sitting, this was last year. So I'm sitting there, and, oh, I don't understand. I don't understand. I'm frustrated. I'm a bit angry, actually, and I just don't get it. I had him right. I mean, it was perfect. By that time, I was still. I was calm, and I pulled the trigger, and I missed the deer. And like I said, it was a rifle. It was from here to the wall. How does that happen? It doesn't. So the deer just bounds off about, you know, 75 yards or so, and so he's standing there. He turns around and goes, oh, you know, and he turns around. He looks at me, and so once again, I get the rifle up. I'm making sure I pick a spot on the deer that I'm going to hit. Boom! The deer just runs off. Missed it again. There is no way that this gun is out of alignment. No way. It's been in my gun case. But you know what? I hadn't checked that gun for years. I had not checked that gun for years. And somewhere in the process, it had got out of alignment. It had gotten out of whack. The sights were off, and I missed the deer. This is iron sights. Yeah. And I missed the deer. I was aggravated. I couldn't understand what had happened. I was frustrated. I just got out of the tree and went home. Because I was out of alignment. Okay? So we can get ourselves out of alignment with the will of God. We can get ourselves out of alignment, not so much with the will of God. We can get ourselves out of alignment with God. Which is being out of His will. But we can get ourselves out of alignment. And so we've been hearing these messages these past few weeks to help us get ourselves into alignment as a body. And when we get ourselves into alignment with God as a body, you know, He also talks to us in a one-on-one thing, right? He did me that Sunday I was telling you about.
That's right.
He ministers to us in ways to help us to get ourselves into alignment with Him. So in that same vein, so we talked about how that whenever Israel was out of alignment with God, the land and the people suffered, right? Whenever they were in his will, whenever they were following his precepts, whenever they were following his ways, there was blessing on the land, there was prosperity, there was no famine, there was bounty, bountiful food, and everything was great. Dive a little deeper now. Still Old Testament. Diving a little deeper. You know what? I need to know what time it is. 12:19. We're done. So it's, what is that, 11:19? Okay, thank you. You would think somebody knows how to fix that clock. I seen that and I was like, oh, no. So let's dive a little deeper, though, into the Old Testament. Let's go one-on-one, person, because that's who we are. We're one-on-one. With God, we are one-on-one, right? So let's look at a hero of the Bible. Let's look at David, right? David, when he was tending his father's flock, worshiping, praising God in the field, in alignment with God. He was able to kill the bear. I think it was a bear or a lion.
Lion
and a bear that tried to steal from his father and his flock. He was in alignment with God. Everything was great. David versus Goliath. He was aligned with God. Because he was aligned with God, Goliath fell. Head chopped. Woohoo, yay team. David becomes king after Saul at that point. He was in alignment. He was following God's plan. He was in worship. He was in prayer. He was in communication with the Father, with God. And things were lining up for him. He was in alignment. However, when David was being naughty with Bathsheba, not in alignment with God. When David sent Uriah off to the front to be killed, not in alignment with God. And because he was out of alignment with God, then things began to suffer at home. In the country, in the land, he actually, you know, later on had to flee for his life. Because,
in his
family's life. Because his oldest son, Absalom, was trying to take over the kingdom. And he had to flee. Because, you know, he was out of alignment. He wasn't quite where he needed to be in his life with God. So here are some areas. I've just kind of listed some areas. And if I don't push this button, it's going to go off. So here are some areas. I've listed some areas. It's not a complete list, but it is my list. Some areas that we need to be aligned with God. Okay? That, as I see some areas that we need to be aligned with God. Not in the order of importance, but just a list. Okay. Pastor David has been sharing with us in finances, in offerings. In Malachi 3:8, okay, we've talked about, you know, should people cheat God, yet you've cheated me. How do we do that? You've cheated me of tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, for the whole nation has been cheating me. And so David's been, what's that word, expounding on how are we cheating God. It's, we're not robbing him, you know, God's not in need of our money, but we're robbing him because we're robbing him of the opportunity for him to bless us, right? There is alignment when we are giving our money, we're giving of our tithes, we're helping folks who are in need of help, we're giving to the poor. When we do that, then we are in alignment with the will and the purposes of God. When we give from our heart, our tithing and our tithes and our offering is just something that we feel like God is asking us to give to either a person that may not even be here at church. I had an opportunity one time while I was out at the Quick Trip getting gas in my Pepsi truck. Oh, I work for Pepsi. To give to a person who is in need. And it was a real challenge for me because it was outside of the church and it wasn't but I was giving an offering to this family who was hung up. They couldn't go any further in their journey. They needed gas. They didn't have money. I gave an offering to them because I did it as unto the Lord, because I felt like the Holy Spirit, God, was saying to me, give these people a full tank of gas. I filled up their gas tank. They went on their way. I did give them they were so thankful. They were, oh, thank you. Is there anything we can do? I said, yeah. Next time you get the opportunity, get in church somewhere. Seek God. It was a little opportunity to witness. But whenever we give our offering, whenever we give our tithes, we are placing ourselves in agreement, in alignment with the Word of God. So now some dots are being connected. Look, Jackson, you like my drawing? There's two eyeballs. There's some hair. Okay, isn't that a good picture? Oh, give that guy a star, whoever said that. Man, Danny, if I could reach back there right now, I might hit two or three people. Oh, yes! Score, he got all the way to the back. Didn't hit nobody, I don't think, did it? Okay. Whew. That was like Gage. My grandson, Gage, whenever he gets all excited, he's like... All right, so another area that we get to get ourselves into alignment, and Travis did such a super job last week of conveying this, is that we get to serve others. When we are serving others, and not, like he said, not expecting to be served ourselves, when we are serving others, we are in total alignment with God. Because that is where we get the opportunity to really demonstrate God. We get to demonstrate who Jesus is in our lives when we're serving others, whether it's in the nursery, in children's church, or it's outside of here, okay, like in the outreaches that have been going on. We get to reach outside and to minister and to serve others, and we demonstrate Jesus. And so a scripture I have with that is James chapter 1, verse 27, that pure and genuine religion in the sight of God means that we're to care for the orphans and the widows, and those in need. And also it says, and refuse to let the world corrupt you. That's what it says. So when we are helping in food ministry, when we are helping, when we're giving our money and our offerings and our time and serving others, then we are in alignment with God, because that is His plan. He wants the world to know Jesus through us as we are ministering to them. Block party. Another area that we need to be aligned with God is in the area of our health. You know, Jesus provided for us a way to be healthy.
Amen.
And that is to have faith in what He did on the cross.
Right.
Oh, no, not what He did on the cross. On the road to the cross. Before the cross, He provided our healing. In Isaiah 53, He provided healing to us in advance by His stripes. Let me go there real quick. I've got it marked. You don't have to follow. 53, verse 5, actually. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole, and He was whipped so that we could be healed. So if we are out of alignment with God, not that we're necessarily out of faith, or if we are having issues in our body, we need to change our thinking and get ourselves into alignment with God and say, you know what? I am now believing what You did for me. Jesus, I am believing that by Your stripes, Your word says in Isaiah that You were whipped and You were beaten so that I could be whole, so that I could be healed. Change our alignment, not agree with the world, not agree with the enemy giving us fear, causing doubts to come into our life. Heck, I've been there. Living in fear or is this cancer? you know? Allowing that fear, no, not agreeing, not being being aligned with the kingdom of the kingdom of darkness, but to align ourselves with God, which says that we have been healed because of what Jesus did going to the cross. And when we believe that, and we can believe that, and we need to be believing that, then anything that's going on in our bodies is dealt with and is completely finished because of what Jesus did going to the cross. So that's another area. So let's see, finances, serving others, health. So here's one of my favorites. I think that a real good area that we need to be aligned with God in is that it's in reading the Word. Sometimes we can go, I've struggled. I'm telling you, this is me. Remember I said, the Lord has been laid this on my heart and I've been learning this? It's because this is me. Okay? Can we be honest here? This is me. I have not yet arrived. I'm a little bit further than what I was. But so I struggle with reading the Word. Now, the last few months have just been priceless. I have got hooked up with, I can never remember, Bible Gateway. It's online. Actually, it's an online resource that has, if you go onto BibleGateway.com, you can just find, it's like a concordance and all that stuff. I mean, you can just dig into the Word of God. Well, one of the things they do is, on a daily basis, they'll whatever you want, they'll send you an email. Fill up your box with devotional stuff, with reading. And I have just had the opportunity here just the last few months to sit there. I signed up for it. Boom, it comes to my email. It's so easy now. I can sit there at my desk and just read the scripture and just have a good little devotional time right there in my office before my day starts. And it has been priceless for me, spiritually. It's been priceless. Getting myself into alignment with God in the area of understanding and reading His Word. We can... Oh, I'm connecting the dots here. We can get out of alignment and not even realize it. I didn't even realize that gun was not sighted in.
There you go.
I thought it was. I thought all these years that I've been just fine by occasionally reading the Word of God. I was a children's pastor for all those years. I read the Word of God. Every time I had to present a lesson, it was planned, read through, lined out, and it was good. Well, I don't know always, but... my perspective. It was always good.
Amen.
Kids were being healed all the time. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were laying hands on people never being healed. No, I don't know. It's just in my fantasy. However, I struggled with the area of being in alignment with the Word of God. Now, I can study the Word of God. I understand what I'm studying, but I'm doing it for a purpose. Okay? But to get into the Word of God, to align myself with God in the reading of the Word, means that I am going in to hear from Him. I am reading this particular passage, expecting to hear the voice of God in this particular passage. I am wanting to see something out of this particular passage that I've not understood or seen before that is coming for God for me today, right now. And it's been priceless. So I am connecting the dots. Look, Jackson, he's got a nose now. I connected that dot. Connecting the dots here. When we are in alignment with God in these areas, and there's other areas. I'm not saying that this is an extensive list, but there are other areas. But when we keep ourselves in alignment with God, then there are things in our life that will, connect. Oh, that connects to that. Oh, that plus that, 1 + 1 = 2. Oh, well, now I get why this, this, this. And so I'm going to get into that here in a second. So in Romans 10:17, oh, it went off. Romans 10:17. Says, now these are common, these are, you guys probably know all these by heart, right? Romans 10:17 says that, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing how? Hearing the word of God. So that's, you guys were like me and memorized it in Old King James. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. So when we are not in alignment with God in regards to reading the Word of God, reading His Bible, getting into it and understanding and wanting to communicate, when we are not doing that, our faith will tend to slide. Our, you know, our Christian walk, I'm dry here. I've used that excuse so often. I'm just dry here. Well, it's because I'm out of alignment. I'm out of alignment. And whenever I'm in alignment with the Word of God, when I'm reading the Word of God, when I'm out of alignment, then my faith is waning, my strength is waning, patience wanes. the Word of God feeds us. The Word of God feeds us. It fills us. When we are low in faith, the scripture here, the Bible says here, the way we get ourselves back into alignment with the Word of God is to listen, is to pay attention to, is to incline our ear to the Word of God, whether it's through pastors preaching, whether it's through a preacher on the radio somewhere. When we listen to the Word of God, I've always wanted to do this. So when Danny walks back, now I have a relationship with Danny, we're going to all stand up and clap. He's not going to know what's like, ugh. I've always wanted to do that. Somebody gets up and has to go to the bathroom, something like that. It's like, man, wouldn't it be cool if somebody, when they come back in, it's like, yeah! So when Danny comes back, we're going to do that, all right? I can't wait now. All right, hurry up, Danny. All right, so I'm a little playful and ornery like that. And I can do that to Danny because I have a relationship with him. And no, he'll get a kick out of it. He'll get a kick out of it one day. All right, so I'll keep an eye out. Where was I? Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, whenever we're in alignment with God in the area of reading the Word, we get ourselves in alignment to whenever we get, I'm all flustered because I can't wait. I'm like a kid at Christmas. We get ourselves into alignment with the Word of God in this area, and our faith will begin to build again. If you feel yourself struggling in some areas, maybe you might, and you're having a hard time reading the Bible, you might just consider my word here in that maybe I'm out of alignment here with God somewhere, and I need to get myself back into alignment with Him. And the way we do that is to just simply listen to His word. Listen to a preacher on the radio. We're listening to Pastor Ted on Sunday mornings. We sit down and we read the scripture for the purpose of, I want to hear from you, God. And when we do that, those things just kind of take care of themselves. And we're connecting the dots. We'll see something in the scripture we hadn't seen before that will help us in our life. Our prayer life is another one. A prayer life. You know, in our connection group, by the way, I love connection group. If you haven't noticed already, I've said it several times. Connection group is so fruitful. It's fun. If you know what, I'm going to take a show of hands. How many in here has attended a connection group? Oh my goodness, that is awesome. What about the rest of you? Yeah. Connection groups are. Hey! Woo! Yeah! Oh, Danny's here. I've always wanted to do that, Danny. Hey, hey, are you, you are the editor, right? Editor in chief? You're going to edit all this out, right? But, no, I know he ain't doing that. I know. But that Vimeo thing, you are going to edit that, right? Oh, man, that was fun, Danny. Now, did you text him? Mary's back there. Danny, don't come back in here. Don't do it, Danny. You better sneak in. Oh, man, I love the Lord. Man, he's so fun. I could just see him laughing at his disciples at their retardedness sometimes. All right, so our prayer life. Oh, yeah, connection group. So in our connection group, Miss Tracy was in our connection group. Man, she's got some good thoughts and questions. And so she says, Pastor, when I ask, what are some areas we want to learn or think about, and we'll talk about them. And she had this really great question about, you know, help me, Tracy. If, you know, the Bible says that that Jesus did these great things and greater things that we're going to do. That's my paraphrase. Well, how come we're not doing it? Well, that's a good question. I don't know. So let's find out. Let's look. Let's dig into it. And one of the things that we come up with in our connection group time is that the reason Jesus was able to do miracles and great and mighty things was that he spent time with his Father in prayer. He would go to the mountain away from everybody else, the mountaintops, and he would pray for hours and hours and hours. He would send guys on, you guys go on, I'm going to stay up here, I'm going to pray. And that's where he gained his strength. He gained his strength through his time of prayer, his time of communication with God. He would go to the mountains and be by himself. How many, when's the last time any of us went someplace by ourselves and just prayed? We can get out of alignment real easy. Now remember, this is me. I'm admitting my failures to you this morning. That it's real easy for us to get so busy with life, and we all know this. It's so easy for us to get so busy with life is that we don't spend time. I'm driving to work. Thank you, Lord. Bless my day. Thank you. Amen. Pull in, whip in, go ahead and sit down, read the scripture. Okay, good. Got it. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm gone. Now, and so there's these areas are vital to our lives as Christians, Christian men, Christian women, that we, if we get out of alignment and we're wondering what's going on. Why did I not shoot that deer? I was right on and did everything right. And somebody, what is going on? We can get out of alignment real easy without knowing. Until one day we're like, what's going on here? And we hear, you know, Pastor share a word with us. Or I'm telling you this morning. So we're connecting the dots. We're connecting dots. Oh, Jax. He's getting ready to have a smile. Okay. Connecting dots. So it's really important for us to have a living, breathing time of communicating with God. Amen. Okay? It really is. Else how can we help somebody else?
That's right. It's good.
Okay? How can we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to us about somebody who's in need 10 feet away from us if we're not talking with the Father on a regular basis? And, because that's how he'll talk to us. The Holy Spirit will convey to us somebody who's in need. Okay? I promise, honestly, he will. And you know I'm telling the truth. This is my favorite part of this. this morning, just a real rich time of praise and of worship this morning. Wow. Thanks, Chris. You guys, thanks. One area where we can become out of alignment, another area that we can come out of alignment with God is in our praise and our worship. Once again, going back to Connection Group, there was several weeks that I began to question God, ask God questions. You know, gosh, I've been in church as far as I can remember. I think I was born again the first time when I was 12. You know, folks, I was always in church. Through my, you know, teenage years, always in church. So that was 12, and so I'm now. Do the math. That's, you know, a long time. And so, but I've never really understood praise and worship, what it meant. I can say the words. So don't be offended, all right? Don't be offended. My journey, remember, my journey. But there's a lot of probably similarities. Whenever I say I praise you, Lord, I never knew what that meant. You know, how many of us know what really praising God is? You know, just a thought. Get real somber here. How many of us really know what praise to the Lord really is? Lord, I praise you, I praise you. What does praise mean? I was questioning God. What does that mean? I didn't know what it meant. There were occasions whenever I can praise, and I'd be singing God, you know, singing songs to the Lord, singing songs to Jesus, and really feeling a connection with the Holy Spirit, with Him at the moment, but I really didn't have a really good understanding about what it meant to praise. You ever had a teacher say, what does such and such mean? So what does praise mean? Well, it means when we praise God. No, you can't use the word in the definition. What does praise mean? Well, I praise you, Lord. Well, what does that mean? You can't use the word in the definition. Is that right, Jess? I don't know what that means, but it sounded awesome. Give her a Tootsie Roll. Pass the Tootsie Roll back to her. I don't know what it meant, but it sounded good. Circular definition. And so I began to question that myself, and I began to ask the Lord, what does that mean? Because I was really wanting to press in this area. I wanted to get myself into alignment with God, because if I'm wanting to praise Him, if I'm wanting to dig in and get deep with Him and go deeper and further in our relationship with He and I, then it's got to be more than I praise you, Lord, and I'm not knowing what's going on. I don't know what that looks like. And so we began to ask that question in Connection Group. Once again, it's a good place to be. And just learning what it means to praise and to worship our God. Praise means to when we praise Him, it means to exalt, to lift up, have a heart of thankfulness, a place where we, what He has done for us in the past, much like Israel, when they were in alignment with God, they were out there shouting, hooping, and hollering, David bringing in the ark, dancing, bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. They were in alignment with the Word of God at that point. When they were in alignment with God, they were dancing, celebrating for the greatness of Jesus, of God, of what He had done up to that point. When we praise Him, we are expressing our thankfulness. We are acknowledging, yes, thank you. We are acknowledging His attributes. We're saying, God, or, you know, God or Jesus, who, you know, wherever, they're one and one anyway. They're together anyway. Lord, you are great. You are great. Thank you for what you have done in my life. Thank you back whenever I was an angry man. How you came and you touched and you changed my life. That is giving praise to God. Having a thankful heart. Having thankfulness, gratitude for what he has done for us. Worship. Oh, worship. Let me give you an example real quick of what I'm talking about in the where am I at? And how we can apply praise to getting ourselves into alignment with God. And Miss Jenny really nailed it this morning in her exhortation this morning. How that when we are in need of something from God, when we are going through a struggle, when we are going through a hard place, the place that we get ourselves into alignment with God is in our praise life. The scripture says in Psalms 8, this David was talking, says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in heavens. Through the praise of it, that was easy for me to say, right? Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemy to silence the foe and the avenger. When we praise, and if you're going through a struggle, when we praise God, when we push in and say, God, I thank you for what you did for my family back here. I thank you for what you did. Lord, you did this. I was saved. My family was restored. When we do that, when we praise him, literally, the scripture says here, and I'm reading it, it will silence the enemy. Where does the enemy attack us? He doesn't stand up in front of us and go, in our thoughts. And when we are in praise, and when we are in a place where we are not focusing on us, we are focusing solely on Jesus and adoring him and having gratitude for what he's done in our lives, when we are just totally focusing on him, everything goes quiet here. I've experienced it. I know it to be true. I know it to be true. Whenever you're struggling in areas, the place and the way to get back into alignment with God is to praise him. It's to praise him and to worship. That was A, this is B. Worship. Worship is acknowledging God. It is saying, oh God, you are awesome. Your majesty fills the heavens and the earth. You are awesome. We join ourselves with the angelic host, with the 24 elders who are sitting around the throne of God, day in and day out, worshiping him. What a great place to be. Amen. Just telling God. It's not, God, I need this. Oh, God, I worship you. God, I need this. It's, God, you are great. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Let me read this to you. When I read this, of course, I've read it a bazillion times. You probably have also. But specifically now. Revelations chapter 5, verse 6. Now, I am going to read this. Okay. This is awesome. Awesome. Then I saw the Lamb looking as if it had been slain. Who was the Lamb who had been slain? Who? I wish I could just chunk candy out here. I will hear a minute. Looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. Who are the elders? Any ideas? Huh? There's 24 of them. Any idea? The disciples? Moses? There's probably some that I don't know. But it's those who are gone before, you know, Moses, Elijah probably, I don't know, the disciples. that have gone before who have a place around the throne of God. The Lamb had seven horns, seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. He went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one with a harp, holding a bowl of incense, their prayer, which was the prayers of the people, and they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy." When we worship, we're just declaring the worthiness of God. We are aligning ourselves with heaven. And there is a purpose for this. We are aligning ourselves up with heaven. "You are worthy to take the scroll to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe, language, people, and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priest, serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Verse 11. The battery going dead? Okay. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," I'll talk faster, "to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." That is worship. Worthy is the Lamb. Wouldn't you say he's worthy?
Yeah.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Why was he slain? For us. So that we could have relationship with God. That's worship. "Then they heard every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth and on the sea," and that's in them, "and saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever."
Amen.
That's worship. You know, I love when Chris gets up here and the worship team get up here and they lead us. They help facilitate worship. But that's not the only time we need to be worshiping. That's not the only time that we need to be lifting up and glorifying God. We need to be doing that every day we can. We can't do it every day. Remember, this is me. I don't do it every day. But when I do, we need to be saying to God, "You are great. You are holy." And worship Him. It's great to have the band facilitating and helping us and leading it. But we got to be doing it. Can't just do it one day a week. Okay? We can't. Not in staying in alignment with God and His plans and His purposes for our life. I mean, we can, I guess. But it's a real struggle. We worship God for who He is. We come before Him with thanksgiving. I'm almost done. Who said yay? Take a star from my daughter. You don't have any. Somebody give her a star and take it away from her. I'm teasing. So, the last scripture I'm going to read is in Acts chapter 17. There's a lot of scriptures today, huh? This is cool, man. I'm liking this. Technology. Oh, this is rich. So, Acts chapter 17. This is the story of Paul in Athens. He'd been ministering in Thessalonica. He'd been ministering in Thessalonica, and we're connecting dots this morning. He'd been ministering in Thessalonica. Wow, that's hard to say. Thessalonica. Thessalonica. I like Thessalonia. He'd been ministering there, kind of got run out. People were trying to get a hold of him. Had been run out, and he went to Athens. And while he was in Athens, he was waiting for Timothy and Silas to come and catch up with him. While he was there, he was walking around Athens, Greece, where all the Parthenon and all the temples were for the different various gods of the Greek religion. And he was sitting there waiting. He was walking around, and he's seen this one idol statue that said, "This is to the unknown God." The Greeks were trying to cover all their bases. To the unknown God. And so he began then to expound to these people who the unknown God was, that they didn't know, but he was fixing to tell them. How's that for Okeyism? Fixing. He was preparing to expound upon. What does that mean? He was fixing to. He began to tell them about this unknown God. And it is verse 24. The God who made the world. Let me see here. Let me go to 23. For as I walked around looking carefully at the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with an inscription to an unknown God. So you are ignorant. Oh, man, he called them dummies. So you are ignorant of the very thing that you worship. So this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the earth and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands and as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives life and breath and everything else. So this God that we serve does not need a thing from us. He does not need one thing from us because he is all sufficient in himself. He is the great I am. He does not need my worship because he is all sufficient. He does not need my money. Here, now I am connecting the dots. Thank you for bearing with me till I get to this point right here. All the dots are connected. Jackson, look, I have a smiley face. This God who we serve does not need one thing from us. He doesn't. Jesus does not need one thing from us because he is not lacking. He does not need anything that we can provide with these hands because he is all sufficient. He was before time, he is now, and he forevermore will be. Connecting the dots now. Why then does God ask us to pray? Why then does God ask us to give to others, to serve others? Why then does God ask us to give our tithe, give offerings? Why then does God ask us to get into the Word of God, get into the Scripture? Why? So that we can be His hand extended. So that we can be a demonstration, a living demonstration of His love for man. So that we can reach out to those around us and demonstrate the love of God for our neighbor. And when we are struggling in areas, when we are lacking or out of alignment in some of these areas, then we lack in some areas, we struggle, and we don't fully demonstrate to the world around us that needs God. We don't fully do that. And we can, we do, and we have, and we will in the various areas that we have in relationship in God. But when we are in alignment with Him, we are demonstrating God to others. God doesn't need our money, but when we give, we place ourselves in a place where we can be a blessing to others. Okay? Connecting the dots. Make a little smiley face. We must align ourselves with God's plans and purposes and not the other way around. When we sin, God doesn't repent to us. We repent to Him. When we are struggling in these areas, it's not necessary for God to come to us, even though He sends His Holy Spirit to us to give us a little oomph at times to help us to get back into alignment with God. So I know you are all just dying to know the end of the story. So, my rifle. I knew you were just waiting. You were like, come on, Brian, what's the rest of it? So my rifle. I was so aggravated at that thing. It was out of alignment. I went and my brother-in-law's got this really cool laser thing, Jim. Really cool laser thing. You put it in the end of the barrel, and you put it on a bench, and you focus on a target, and then you can align the sights based on where that point is on the wall, on the target. It's really cool. It's like, I want one of those. But actually, he shot it into the woods somewhere. He was trying to align the sights on his gun and forgot that it was still in there, and poof, it was gone. So anyway, so we're going to have to get another one. But yeah, it was gone. Trust me. So what did I do? I took that gun, put it up on the workbench, put that little laser light in there, got it set on the target, the bullseye, where I'm going. This is where I want this bullet to go. I took a hammer, tapped that little iron sight over a little bit, realigned the gun. I realigned what I was wanting to do. Got it pretty much on bullseye now. I did some things to make sure that that gun was going to shoot right. I made adjustments. God and the Holy Spirit is asking us to make adjustments. Okay? Whenever he sends revelation to us, and he does, he's, you know, you, in your quiet times with him, I'm sure you can say the same thing, that he'll bring a revelation to you and a little bit of understanding, and we have to then take that revelation and operate in it or with it or begin to. That's hard, though. That's hard. When we get a revelation from God, making those adjustments, you know, tapping those little iron sights over to where it comes back into alignment, that could be hard. That could be challenging. But it needs to be done if we want to hit the target. I'm waiting. I want that little Bambi growing up there to come walking back out there again. That gun is going to be shooting straight this time, and get a darn tight. Can't wait for him to come out there now. We need to keep ourselves in alignment. Chris, go ahead and come.